Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome, everybody. Happy holidays, all that good stuff. This is the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. I'm your host, Dale Luganbill. Let's keep it rolling. Keep that train rolling. Keep liking, keep sharing, keep subscribing. Share it all around. You know anybody that's into the podcast? Podcasting is blowing up, everybody. It's just blowing up. So if you know somebody that listens to outdoor podcast, do me a big favor. Let them know about me. Let them know about the show. And we'll keep growing, keep this thing trucking, keep getting great guests, bringing you more and better content. That's the goal, right? You want to hear it. I want to give it to you. So let's just keep it rolling. I appreciate it. Do all the things. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, Full_Scale_Outdoors, Dale Luganbill, Snapchat, a new email. Buggy about this for a while just so it get hardwired in your brain. So it is DaleLuganbill@FullScaleOutdoors.com. So pretty easy to remember. You can send all your love letters and hate mail and whatever it is. You know, if there's a guest that you know somebody, and listen, people, this doesn't, like, I will talk to just about anybody. If it's somebody that doesn't even have anything that they're trying to push or they're trying to be in the outdoor industry, it's just somebody you know that is a good conversationalist and they love the outdoors, whether it's hunting or fishing or foraging or whatever it might be. Maybe they're just a really good wild game chef or something. You know, it could just be a buddy. Like, it doesn't have to be anything like that. If they're just a good conversationalist and you think they would be interesting and other people find them interesting, hey, send them my way. Send me an email, like, or pass my email out if they're interested and they want to talk and sit down. And, you know, if you don't want to do it formal, hell, come on, be a guest on one of our Flight Companion podcasts. That'd be great. So let's get to this one. Here we go. This is the third in our three-part, not really a three-part, but I had like three in a row interviews with women in the outdoor industry. And this is the third one. They took over December, and I couldn't be happier about it. So thank you very much, ladies. So here we go. Today's episode, I have Captain Angie Scott, who is a fellow part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective with her podcast, The Woman Angler and Adventurer. So definitely go check that out, subscribe to that, like all her stuff on social media. And she had a little bit of time to sit down and talk before she had to jet off to the airport. And I appreciate it, Angie. It was a great conversation, and hopefully we can work together more in the future. She's from Minnesota, based in Nashville, and hopefully I can get down there because I love Nashville, and she's got a really fun thing planned that I definitely want to crash, and not going to spoil it. You're just going to have to listen to find out, but it more likely involves alcohol and maybe microphone, but we'll see. Maybe some singing. Okay, everybody, it's karaoke, all right? It's karaoke or karaoke, however you want to say it, and it's going to be on boat. And that sounds awesome, and I want to do it. So maybe we'll take a big caravan of Minnesota people down there, just take over. Oh, damn, that'd be fun. So, yeah, give it a listen. Appreciate all you. You guys have been great. Let's keep it rolling. This is the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast with Captain Angie Scott.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go. love that sound. This is a good one.
I just always, I just hit record and just start talking.
I do the same thing. So
Captain Angie.
Yeah.
How long have you been a captain?
Almost a year. So hasn't been really long. Just got my captain's license.
How is it going?
Good. I was fortunate enough to get a demo boat from Quest Pontoons this year.
I saw that. I was looking at your website. Yeah. Like, oh, she's guiding out of a pontoon. That's sweet.
And I didn't get it until after 4th of July this year, so it was kind of later in the season. So I did a few charters, and I'm not doing, like, fishing guide stuff. Just doing charters, like taking people out on the pontoon.
Oh, and just showing them around the lake and stuff like that?
Yeah, we're in Nashville, and it's a pretty big tourist city. A lot of bachelorette parties.
Putting it mildly.
Have you been?
I have been one time. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. Everybody who goes there loves it.
Yeah. It was effective, actually. And this wasn't planned, but I'm drinking out of the Loveless Cafe.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Famous biscuits.
Yes. They were pretty good. Oh, my God. Pimento cheese.
But, yeah, a lot of people come down, and they just want to have a good time out on the lake. A lot of bachelorette parties, stuff like that. So I did about 5 or 6 this year. Just kind of figuring it out and deciding what, you know,
where to go.
Yeah,
next,
yeah.
What to do.
There's Party Cove on Percy Priest Lake, which is where Little Big Town filmed the video for Pontoon. So people love to go see that. And Redneck Yacht Club was a song that was written about one of the marinas
Craig
out
Morgan.
There. Uh-huh. And that video was filmed on that lake too. So I kind of just show people around and whatever they want to do. And I have had a few people have wanted to fish. And so I'll take you out if you want to fish,
sure.
But I'm not going to guarantee you.
Promise you anything? So do you do much fishing yourself down there?
I do. Yeah, I try. I joined the Team Nashville Bassmasters, which is
nice.
A local bass club. Right now I'm the only female in the club, but the guys have been awesome, and we do once a month tournaments as a team. It's a boater and a co-angler
yep.
So you get paired up with.
Yep.
So it's been a really good way to learn. Because I grew up here in Minnesota, and I grew up fishing walleye mostly, and panfish, crappie, bluegill, stuff like that. But there's no walleye in Percy Priest, so I've been kind of forced to figure out a different species to go after.
I assume there's a few reservoirs in Tennessee that have walleye.
There are, yeah. And Old Hickory, which is also outside of Nashville, is where the world record walleye was caught.
Oh,
so
well, there you go.
Yeah. I haven't gotten over there yet, but this one reservoir I really like is south of Nashville called Normandy. And I'd taken a guide out on that lake, and he put me on my first Tennessee walleye ever.
Oh, cool.
So then when I got my first pontoon, which is also a Quest, but it's a little 16-foot pontoon, I took that down there and just, you know, hoping to boat my first walleye in Tennessee on my own boat, and it was awesome. Very first catch, it was like a 27-inch.
Oh,
walleye.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
What's the techniques down there similar?
I think so. He has walleye rigs that he makes himself, but it's, you know, a bunch of beads and some spinner blades, and you can change out the blade color, you know, and then it's just a crawler harness, and then we just troll with those in about 14 feet of water or so.
Pretty similar.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's not my style of fishing.
Really? What's your
people? Well, it's just people, the subscribers of Full Scale Outdoors know I rag on walleye fishing all the time. Tongue in cheek. But personally, I'm not a troller. Like, I get bored. I get bored. I'm more the bass fishing I love.
Oh,
it's more
okay.
Target oriented. You know, like each cast is, you mm-hmm. know, you're intent on that one cast and what's going on.
Right.
And then, you know, you reel in, you either catch fish or you don't, you reel in, and then you're paying attention to that next cast. And it's, you know, For me, it feels like I'm more directly linked to, it's just more engaging, actively engaging than, you know, sitting there. And I get the argument some people have made. It's like, well, if you're trolling, right. Now I would argue if you're the captain of the boat, it's, you're doing something because you're following your electronics and you're maybe following weed lines or contour lines or whatever it is.
Right.
Now you're paying attention. But anybody else in the boat's just like sitting back
just
and waiting
for
a rod to go.
Yeah.
It's just not really my style.
Have you ever done much fly fishing?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Because that's very engaged.
Yes, I enjoy. I very much enjoy fly fishing. I haven't done it, honestly, in years. Mm-hmm. It's just not time for everything.
Right.
You know? And I'm part of a bass club, too. Same thing. BASS, sanctioned club, boater, non-boater. We have two women in our club.
Oh, cool.
And they're all really good sticks. It's really competitive. It's interesting to see, like, the, you know, every event, like, the weights are always pretty close. It's
really
pretty tight usually in our club. So,
well, it's a lot different down there culturally, like I've noticed. There's just up here, you know, it's more of everybody's getting outdoors and it's a family thing. So you see a lot more women out. But in Nashville, it's very rare.
Really?
That I'll see a female out on the boat. And if I do, it's almost always she's like out with her husband. She may or may not be fishing, you know. So I've been trying to get connected with more women in my area that fish. And we have an opportunity. We're actually doing a live podcast this year from the Nashville Boat Show, which is the first weekend in January. And as part of that, we're reaching out to other female anglers in the area and bringing them in to feature them on that show. And it's been cool because I've been discovering, like, turning over more and more. I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one. There's
I'm a little surprised by it just because, you know, if based on only social media alone, you know, you get a lot of the, you know, forgive me if this offends anybody, but, like, the redneck country girl kind of, you know, you see those pictures a lot on social media and they're in their boots and they're bass fishing, and maybe those are just all stage photos. I have
probably
no idea. But I mean, I guess I had the maybe false impression that women were into the outdoors in the south,
at least from what I've seen. And maybe it's different in other parts of Tennessee because Nashville's a very different kind of area in
Tennessee. A melting pot because you know, a lot of people, well, obviously a lot of people go in there for the music,
right?
But there's a lot of other industry in Nashville, too, that, I mean, it's a big hub for a lot of things. Isn't it a tech hub, too? Isn't there a few tech companies down there?
Well, I know Amazon is just opening there.
Okay.
That's kind of a big deal. A lot of companies are relocating from New York to Nashville because the taxes are a lot cheaper. So there's a lot of variety there now.
Yeah, it was pretty bustling when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you have a background in music or just
work
in the industry?
Yeah, that was what initially drew me down to Tennessee. Is I was going to the University of Minnesota, and my ultimate goal was to work in the music business. I was either going to go for business, or I was going to go like almost the complete opposite route and try to get involved in like natural resources, and
because
I'm so drawn to the outdoors. But I ended up choosing business with the ultimate goal of wanting to work in the music industry. And then I found out that there were actually schools that had music business programs. And I was like, well, that's what I need to do because it's already competitive enough to get your foot in the door.
Yeah, I've always said that about when people, you know, you go to Nashville as a musician to chase that dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the place to do it, but it almost sounds like you're purposely putting a little fish in a big pond. You know what I mean? Or dropping it right into the piranha tank. I mean, that's where everybody's going. Like, how it's got to be so hard to stand out.
It depends on what your path is to. Like, I know a guy, you might know him, actually. I don't know. His name's Troy Castellano. He lived in this area. He was actually more like
familiar.
Harris area.
Okay.
But we had a mutual friend through high school, and he was uprooting his family from Minnesota to go down, move to Nashville to be a songwriter.
How many years ago was that?
I think he's been down there, I want to say, at least 3 years. Hasn't been super long.
Okay, I thought it was, maybe it's
but
not
if you've ever heard the Minnesota Rusko commercial. Minnesota Rusco.
Oh, yeah.
That's Troy.
Oh, right on, that Troy. Attaboy.
So, yeah, so he's been down there trying to make it happen, and he's been, I mean, it's hard for anybody because songwriting in Nashville is so, it's so competitive and almost political. And so,
oh, I can only imagine.
It's more based on who you are, who you wrote with, than the actual quality of the song. But Troy's been getting after it every day and getting some little cuts here and there. And I mean,
it's I honestly haven't listened to commercial radio in so long because I just I'm not a fan of the new stuff that's coming out. I mean, every once in a while you get a couple good ones, a good catchy one. Somebody will turn me on to, but. And actually, I think it might be starting to moderate a little bit, if that's the right word.
Yeah,
like, you know,
maybe.
I'm specifically speaking of country music, and I know there's more than just country that comes out of Nashville. But yeah, I was a fan of the old stuff and the new stuff that's just not on the radio. They're not, you know, Sturgill Simpson, Cody Jinks.
Oh yeah,
that
love
kind
those
of stuff.
Guys.
Oh man,
yep,
it's good. That's just good music.
Exactly.
And it's not mass produced. You know, they're not trying to just make the equation, you know,
right.
Which is there's what seems like hit songs. They all, you could mash up almost every hit song in the last 10 years together. It's like the same chord progression, the same area. Like, it's
probably
ridiculous.
I think people have actually done that.
I saw a video where they melded like 15 songs together, and it's like, it's ridiculous.
Like Cody Jinks and those guys are authentic and. You know, it's only a matter
very
of time,
much.
I think, before that stuff starts filtering through.
I think it is a little bit, and again, this is how out of touch I am with that. I didn't mean to make this a music podcast, but whatever. This is what happens on this show. If I think of what his name is now, there's one, something Morgan, like Cover Me Up.
Yep.
That's a good.
Jason Isbell.
That's a pretty good tune.
Well, so that was written by Jason Isbell. Kind of funny story about that song. I didn't know that song, but I got lucky enough to get paired up with Gerald Swindle for the Bassmaster Classic this past year.
Oh, nice.
On practice day. And so he finds out I'm from Nashville, and we spent the whole day talking about music. And I live on a houseboat on Percy Priest. And Percy Priest is a lyric in that song. And he said...
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And he said, you need to listen to that song, you know. And then, Morgan Whalen said...
I got my phone right here. I can probably figure it out.
There's a couple guys with Morgan.
Yeah, there's a couple Morgans
so
going on.
I don't want to get them mixed up. But, yeah, he's got a really good...
Yep, you're
good,
right. Morgan Whalen or Wallen.
Yeah.
Whalen.
Wallen, yep. Yeah, probably. So...
And one-man band, Old Dominion, that was a pretty good one. I got a couple of the newer ones on my phone here that, you know... Obviously, Beautiful Crazy by Luke Combs is a huge song. I like that one, too. But so there's a couple bright spots in the new music. And maybe it is. Maybe they're starting to catch on. Like, I know a lot of people that are like me. They listen to more, you know, iHeartRadio or Pandora. Mm-hmm. They're not really listening so much, you know, turning their radio on. Because it is just the same old. And hopefully the industry is like, we're going to die on the vine if we don't make some adjustments here and start getting a little bit more variety and in the sound. And it's, I mean, I get it. There's money to be made there, you know, with the Luke Bryan, Taylor Swift kind of equation, but money's not everything.
So I went to school and I ended up getting a job right after I graduated. I went to Middle Tennessee State, which is south of Nashville, like half hour. And I got a job at a booking agency, one of the biggest booking agency we had. Artists like Zac Brown Band and Tim McGraw and Shania Twain, Dixie Chicks, like all the like really big names. So it was pretty awesome. I worked there for 16 years, and then just back in February, they actually did some changes with technology and whatnot, and ended up eliminating my department.
So what did you do in the process of the? You know, in music.
I oversaw the contracts department, so every time they would book a show, there was contracts involved, and we had to get deposits and stuff like that, so I oversaw kind of that whole process. Had a few people that worked on the team, and that was cool, you know, but 16 years is a long time to do the same thing.
Yeah. Wow.
So I kind of rekindled my love for fishing and boating and had bought my pontoon and was getting more and more into that and decided to start a podcast just a little over a year ago.
Yeah, so what brought that about? What was the...
Well, I'd actually done a songwriting podcast with a friend of mine I was a co-host on, so that kind of introduced me to the whole podcast
world.
He did all the editing and all of that, and then I would do some segments and stuff, and that was fun, but it was a lot of work. And, you know, when you have a full-time job, it's hard.
Tell me about it.
It was hard to keep up with. And we were only doing episodes every other week, but it seemed like it was just constant, you know. And so, anyway, that was my first exposure. And then I kind of knew, like, my job was going to be ending at some point. And I was like, what could I do that I'm passionate about that maybe I could build into something, you know, that I could take? And if that happened, you know, I'd already have the groundwork laid. And so as I took a podcasting course and learned how to do all the other side of it that I didn't mm-hmm. have to do. And initially I had the idea of doing a podcast called It Pays to Fish. And I just wanted to feature people who made a living in the fishing industry.
Oh, that's pretty cool, actually.
Like all different aspects yeah. of it, you know. And so one of my first guests was Casey Scott, who does all the artwork for Hook. Gear like
oh yeah, he's a busy dude.
Yeah yeah, he's super talented too. And then I had Troy Lindner on to talk about all the things
you had Al on not
yeah
too long ago,
yeah we yeah. had Al on not too long ago.
There's not too many times I get jealous listening to people with and I was like, shit, Al. But then I've never reached out to him either. So
right.
Who knows? Maybe he'd come on.
I'm sure he would. He's a super, super nice guy. He's been really super supportive of what we're doing.
Yeah, that was actually a really good episode. I enjoyed it a lot. And so if people don't know, both your show, the Woman Adventure and Angler?
The Woman Angler and
Angler Adventure.
Yep.
I get listexic. Yeah, so we're both a part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective.
Yeah.
Which just hit a million cumulative downloads.
Congratulations. Yeah. I feel like I had a little tiny part.
I bet
to
mine
play.
Was even tinier.
But hey.
Can't get to a million without 10, right?
Yeah.
Gotta start somewhere.
Ew.
No, but that's pretty cool. I like it feeds into that collective mentality. You know, I was mm-hmm. Looking on your website today, and you have one of my favorite quotes in there, High Tide Rises All Shit. You know, raises all ships, and I just love that. And that's kind of our, you know, I was telling you earlier with the three podcasts here in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
We're not competitors.
Right.
We just, you know, I go on their show, they come on mine, we do stuff together. We just did one, all three of us, you know, the other week. And, we're just in it together.
Yeah.
We're stronger together than we are apart,
right.
So.
And that's our, so we started as Pays to Fish. It kind of morphed into the Woman Angler and Adventure because I realized there wasn't really any other podcasts out there that were like dedicated to inspiring women to get more involved in fishing and hunting and the outdoors. And so I eventually, you know, made that transition. And then my co-host, who is heads up Wisconsin Women Fish, which is kind of, you've probably heard of Women Anglers in Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's like the Wisconsin group that she started 15 years ago, Barb Carey. And she called me out of the blue one day. She was actually a guest on my Pays to Fish podcast. And then I kind of went to her for advice when I was looking to, you know, changing the direction a little bit. And she called me out of the blue one day and said, hey, would you like a co-host on the show? And I was like, yes.
Yes, I would.
Definitely. So it's kind of just taken off from there. But, kind of lost my train of thought.
That happens. You see a rabbit hole, just take it.
Yeah, yeah, I was kind of running down different rabbit holes. But yeah, it's been awesome, and that's one of our kind of slogans on the show is we're better together.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's room for everybody, you know. Right now, more than ever, I've been hearing all these women talking about starting podcasts.
Do it.
And basically doing the same mm-hmm. exact thing that we're doing. And every now and then I'm kind of like, oh.
Yeah, you got to kind of fight the urge. No, I get exactly what you're saying. And even though I'm working, you know, with Doug and Patrick Zolston here in the state, you know, we don't see each other as competitors. But at first, I mean, I'll be honest, it's like, oh, crap, there's another one in Minnesota. Like, mm-hmm. that's going to make my job that much harder, you know, to try to stand out. And, you know, once I got to know him, which was pretty quickly, you know. He's like, hey, you want to – he actually contacted me. He's like, you want to come on the podcast? And I was like, heck yeah. Like,
yeah.
It just – why wouldn't I want to tap into his network?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's only going to help me.
Exactly.
And obviously he's contacting me because he needs content and he wants to tap into my network. And it's like, okay. And we've talked to – you know, we ran into multiple people that are fans of both shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the other thing is, you know, yeah, this woman over here might start a podcast doing pretty much the same thing, but that's only going to bring more exposure, more audience than they might find our podcast.
It's just more content. I mean, as a consumer,
them,
you know? If you're into that subject matter,
right,
you're going to search for it everywhere you can find mm-hmm. it, and one show's probably not going to be enough. I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan, you don't not go see the new Star Trek that comes out. Like, if you're a sci-fi fan, you're going
right.
to watch every sci-fi thing that's yeah. available. So there's room. There's
like
room for everything.
Like, how many online marketing podcasts are there?
Yeah,
you know?
Right. So,
and I listen to several of them. So
right. I probably you know. Should listen to some. Marketing genius, I am not.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it is. I mean, for me, the podcast thing, the hardest part for me was remains is just lining up guests, scheduling guests, getting guests, you know,
mm-hmm.
just getting
yeah.
consistent content.
Yep.
It's just, it's a, it's,
we're,
you just got to keep
now that I've been
on it.
Putting full time into it, which we've still not gotten to a point where we're making money by
right.
any means.
Yeah. I hear you.
but I do, you know, I do have my captain's license, so I'm building up to do more charters next year. I actually have a really cool idea. It's going to be pontoon karaoke.
Nice.
Yeah,
you let me know, I'm down.
Okay.
You know, seeing as you're in the Nashville, you know,
yeah.
you're in the music business, I don't mean to brag, but I was the lead singer in a cover band
nice.
Here in the cities for yeah. like 11 years.
Maybe that's why you know my, maybe that's why you know Troy.
Skewed View was the name of the band. Yeah, you don't know it.
For people at home.
No, you don't know it, I promise you.
For people listening at home, I'm actually on my way to the airport to go back to Nashville from the St. Paul Ice Show, and my parents are
yeah,
in
the background.
The
and my dogs, if you heard any
patiently
collars
waiting.
Being shaken about,
yeah.
whimpering. Yeah.
But one thing I was going to mention really cool about the Waypoint Outdoor Collective is they're actually based in Chattanooga, which is not far from Nashville. So I've gotten to go visit their offices.
Oh, very cool. I should do that.
Yeah.
I should plan a trip down there.
Yeah.
I actually caught my first we were visiting Knoxville, and I got a charter to go on. Caught my first striper down there.
Oh,
caught
cool.
a few of them, big ones. It
that's
was great.
That's what I want to get into.
I don't
now.
Remember. I don't remember the name of the lake. It was north of Knoxville. If someone
like
said it, I'd probably.
Mountain Hill.
Nope.
That's Oak Ridge.
Well, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, whatever. But I do want to get back down to. Well, I'd like to just get back to Nashville because it was really cool. I'd like
yeah.
to just go there again. And then, yeah, I got. And then I have. A couple connections that I've made down there that are, you know, people that are doing stuff in the outdoors industry that have agreed to be a guest if I can ever get down
cool.
there. So I need to just like make a podcast trip and
yeah.
line up some stuff. I got people in Louisiana, same thing. It's like but it's hard. You know, you got a full-time job and
yeah.
then I'm trying to do this and, you know, it's like, how do you schedule everything? And then on top of it, I'm also, you know, a guide, fishing guide and hunting guide and trying to do that. In the spring, so February, I'll be super busy. I go
yeah.
down to Arkansas, and I guide snow goose hunting. So it's like for 3 months, I do that. So that's going to be really difficult keeping the podcast
oh,
rolling
yeah.
with that. I want to hopefully I can have a bunch of shows backlogged.
Right,
and,
that's always the,
I mean
the, goal.
The perfect thing would be just one of the clients just happens to be you know has something that we could talk about and they agree to do it.
Yeah.
The podcast after the hunt or something would be awesome.
Yeah, that
you know,
would be great.
But
talk about the hunt and yeah.
Do you do much hunting at all?
I don't personally. No. I tried it once when I was a kid, but just
didn't
wasn't
hunt.
My thing.
Not your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
but
not
I'm
for
all
everybody.
About supporting people
yeah.
who do, you know. So we've definitely had a lot of great female hunters on our show. Melissa Bachman
yeah.
was really cool. We actually talked about bow fishing.
That's so much fun.
Which is like hunting but fishing.
Yeah, it's bow fishing is great. It's a lot of fun. It's a rush. You know, obviously you're out there at night. Most time you do it at night. And for people that don't know, and you're on the bow, you got your bow in your hand, and you're all you can see is a little bit in front of the boat as
mm-hmm.
the boat's moving with the lights shining in there. And it's like, oh, there's a fish. And it's like, you get it. Like, the rush you
yeah.
get, it's
like when you see a
Yeah, it's
a buck
it's
or
really
something.
Quick because it's not like you can see it. You know, even like a buck, like maybe you see a buck coming from a long ways off and it's walking towards you. Sure, you're going to get excited. Mm-hmm. It's almost more like pheasant hunting where it's like the bird jumps up and, you know, it's a bunch of nothing and all of a sudden there's excitement. You know, it's like it happens really fast and it can get real chaotic real quick.
I have not tried that yet.
It's pretty fun. I highly recommend it to anybody. Even just watch it if you're not into actually pulling the string back. You'd have a pretty good time. You'd get it. I mean, if you're out there watching other people do it and seeing how excited they get and just watching their emotions flare up.
She told us a story, and it was one of her shows, but she was actually bow hunting offshore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, or bow fishing, I mean. Offshore.
Yeah. it's kind of like hunting. Yeah. Was it for sharks or something? Or
You know what? I'd have to go back and look and see. Gosh, what was it? I can't remember
that
what it was now, but it was. Yeah. She was like, basically, she's trying to balance on the edge of the boat. Like, one of the guys is like holding her, you know, make sure she don't fall overboard.
Man. Yeah. Because you got swells out there. I mean, it ain't like a lake or a river here, like that boat's constantly moving.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Well, what's next on your docket? What are you working towards?
We've got one of the coolest things. So we got the Nashville Boat Show. Going to be doing seminars from the Hog Trough. I've never done seminars before.
That's cool.
So I'm kind of waking up in night sweats thinking about it. I'm like, oh, grab
Do you have subject matter all
I think I'm
going to
talk about the importance of knowing where your bait is in the water column. And it's going to be very entry level because we kind of think a lot of people that go to the boat show aren't necessarily avid anglers.
For sure.
And so it's kind of a way to kind of introduce them to it, hopefully. And so I'm going to demonstrate, like, using a slip bobber and then maybe like a Ned rig on the bottom and maybe some crankbait in the middle and then a topwater. Just kind of show the the importance of thinking about where you're actually putting your bait.
Oh, that's good.
That's kind of
my
idea. So then the live podcast that we're doing Saturday at noon, I think that's January 11th, having a bunch of ladies from the LBAA, which is the Ladies Bass Tournament Association. And some other women in the area. One lady, she's big into catfishing, you know.
That's
so
fun.
Anyway, that, and then at the end of January, we've got the Women Ice Angler Project, which is taking place this year on Lake Minnetonka. And the theme, every year, this is like the fifth year, and every year there's a different theme. Last year it was fishing on Lake Superior, ice fishing out of Bayfield, Wisconsin. This year they're kind of have a camping thing, so they're going to be out camping on the ice for five
ice
nights.
Camping oh
yeah.
my gosh
yeah
well
yeah.
That's what everybody does. They just cut holes in the ice and
yeah
and drink
then
beer and listen to the radio
and then so
basically
there's
camping.
the Women Ice Angler Project team is like a core group of my co-host Barb Carey, Hannah Stonehouse Hudson, who you've had on the show, then there's Christine Houtman, KJ Houtman, who's an author. She wrote Why Women Hunt. She has a Fish on Kids book series. I think Chantel Winstruck and Ricky Pardon, another, she's a pro staffer with CLAM. So there's like a core group of women that make up the Ice Angler Project team that will be out there camping.
Oh, very cool.
And the idea is to get more images of women to put in catalogs and other media. Ice fishing related. So they've got a lot of media. We're going to try to get like Care 11 and, you know, different outlets to come out and cover it. And then Saturday of that week is open to the public. So other women can come and fish with the ladies and get a chance to, you know, rotate through and learn something.
That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah. So I'm going to be up there. The Woman Angler and Adventurer will be up there and we'll be covering that whole event.
Cool.
But yeah, it'll be cool. Lake Minnetonka.
That's what's the date of that one?
February 1st is the day that's open to the public. So
we have competing events.
Oh no.
We have so with the Minnesota Made Ice Fishing Tournament series that I'm a part of, we have an event on the 2nd.
Okay.
In Green Lake up by Princeton.
Oh, okay.
But the day before that, we've partnered with Hometown Heroes.
Cool.
Which is a veteran and active military and law enforcement group. So we're taking a bunch of them out and kind of hosting. We'll have 25 teams of Hometown Hero members, and then we'll the Minnesota Made members are just going to kind of be their guides for the day, basically. Yeah. You know, run them around and
cool.
do whatever needs to be done, drill holes and take deucers out of the hole and help them land fish and whatever needs to be done. Traeger's going to be out there with the grilling up all sorts of good food.
Nice.
It's going to be a pretty big event.
Yeah,
so we're looking forward to that.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, probably got to get to the airport, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting there. But another thing we've got coming up I forgot to mention was we're going to be going up to Red Lake and doing some ice fishing right before the Nashville Boat Show, so I actually have to fly back.
Oh, here.
To get back in.
Traveling all over the place.
I know.
Because you were in town not that long ago.
Yeah. Yep. Came up for the St. Paul Ice Show. And then, yeah, I was up here not too long before that. Might have been going to fish camp. We had fish
that's
camp
what it was.
Up in Wisconsin.
Yep, that's
yep.
what it was.
That was cool.
Yeah, we were talking there.
Yep. So that was kind of the thing, you know, when my job kind of situation went away, you know, and I was like, gosh, I've got all these opportunities coming up. That if I don't like try this now, when am I ever gonna?
No, and I think you're getting in at a good time. I feel like you know, YouTube is saturated, and not that it's not still a legit
right
platform, you know, with ways to make money. But I kind of see the same thing happening with podcasts now. Just like you said, you know, you got a bunch of people you know are like, I want to start a podcast, and I hear the same thing all the time. And I tell everybody, do it,
go for
it's
it.
Super easy. And that, like,
it's a lot of work.
It is work, but it's really but it's not like super hard work. In that, the thing, like the people that talk about it, I know they're not afraid of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is just the unknown is what stops them. They're like, I don't know what equipment to use. The tech part kind of freaks them out. I'm like, dude, you put your phone on the table, hit record.
Yeah, it's that
and
easy.
Go.
Really.
I mean.
Yeah, there's different platforms that you can just record and it. Goes
yeah
right
and
to,
they do all the
yeah.
yeah you subscribe to a service and you upload it one time to that service and then that spams it out to
yep.
all the channels, whether it's
<You're done>.
Apple Podcasts or whatever, iTunes or iHeartRadio, whatever, all of them. That's so that
yep.
part, what I think would be the actual hard part, you know, it's taken care
really
of for you. It's
hard.
Really not that
yeah.
it really isn't that hard. I mean, you can make it as hard as you want.
Exactly.
I mean, you can edit it as much as you want. You can, you know, and I personally don't do a ton of editing. I mean, I just trim a little bit of the front, you know, like we did here. You just sit down and hit record because then I can get levels and stuff. And then a lot of times I get good conversations before we get talking.
Right.
Because you have to have seen that. When you put these headphones on people, they change a little bit.
Right.
You know, they're like, oh, we're recording now. I got to be proper. Or I have to say the right thing. It's like, no, I want this show to be like legit conversations. Just
yeah.
two people talking or four people talking or however many guests I have.
That's some of the most fun episodes we've had where I was just thinking about the Women Ice Angler Project last year up in Bayfield, Wisconsin. I had my Zoom H6 and I just set it out and we're in the shack fishing and just that organic conversation.
You just have the microphone that goes on top.
Yeah.
I haven't used it. Does it pick up sound?
It does.
Pretty
yeah,
well?
It sounds really good and it gives you a cool ambiance kind of
I'll have to
feel.
Try that.
So we did some. So I was down in Florida recently too. I've been going down there quite a bit. And I did my first episode from the boat where we were actually fishing.
Nice.
I was interviewing the captain, Captain Stacy, and we haven't released that one yet, but I'm really looking forward. I think that one's going to be really
Stacy.
Cool.
Have I heard Captain Stacy?
Captain Stacy Horak is her name. She's out of Homosassa, Crystal River area. So, yeah, more Crystal
Sounds,
River.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she's pretty cool. I'm trying to think. She does some seminars and stuff down there, so you might have seen her come across
media
or something.
The name was somewhat familiar, but
yeah.
Who knows?
Saltwater,
I'm also terrible with names, so.
Saltwater's a whole nother world.
Well, that might be. Which I wonder if she was on the Tom Rowland podcast.
Could have been. Speaking of Tom, I'm hoping to get back over because his studio is actually in the Waypoint offices.
Oh, nice.
So hopefully in the next few weeks here, I'm going to get back over there and do a
show
with him.
That would be awesome. I'd love to get down there and talk to him. I might fangirl a little bit, but I'll be all right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that was one of the things, like, freak out moment when Chet contacted me from Waypoint. And I was like, yeah, I was kind of looking for something like that. And mm-hmm. it was great that they reached out to me. I mean, that was really flattering. And then when I looked at the list of people on, I'd already heard of Waypoint because of Tom Rowland. And then it was like, just like seeing his name. And then the first time, and then like joining, and everything is smooth sailing until they had like the group chat or the group messaging thing. And it's like, there's Tom Rowland. There's me. I was like, I'm freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, I've heard, I haven't yet met him, but I've heard that he's like super helpful, like open book kind of guy.
Yeah, he sounds like it. So, definitely comes across that way as a very approachable person, which, you know, so far most people in this industry that I've met, you know, have been that way, at least in the podcasting realm. Not a lot of egos. Everybody seems willing to help the next person out. It's kind of a unique thing, you know, in the world of entertainment business for people to work that well, you know, be so willing to work with your would-be competition. It's kind of nice.
It is nice. Yeah.
It's not a cutthroat industry.
We've found that as well. We've had Salt Strong. They were part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective, but they don't do advertising, and that's kind of part of the whole deal. And so
sell their videos.
But we've had Joe Simons on our show a couple times, and he's been awesome. We have phone conversations all the time about, you know, how do we make this thing work? kind of stuff.
So. Yeah, those are the kind of conversations I need to have to kind of work on, you know, things that I'm not, like the marketing aspect of it. I really got to start, like, soaking up as much of that stuff I can find online to be better at that, for sure, and just to expand the reach.
Yep.
But it's going great.
Good.
And so slow and steady growth. Yeah. I mean, that's what you want, right?
It has to go, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the... The ones that last, I think that's, you know, you can have a couple flashes in the pan, but slow and steady wins the race, right?
Yep.
That's what I keep telling myself when I lay the head down on the pillow at night. But, well, I got to let you get going so you can get to the airport. I don't want you to be late, but I really appreciate you sitting down.
Yeah, thanks for having us over, and it was cool we finally made it happen.
Yeah.
Been talking about it for a little while.
Yeah,
so.
Well, keep the lines of communication open. You're ever in the neighborhood, and we got... Let's go wet a line together and
that'd be
catch
awesome.
Some fish. It'd be fun. Or if I get down in Nashville.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, you definitely have to tell me about the pontoon croaky thing. I am in.
That would be great.
I will make it a point to come down there for that. 100%.
We'll do some. Just all next season, hopefully.
Yeah, that would be that would be so much fun. Oh, my God. That would be awesome. I'm so in. So, everybody, go check out the woman angler and adventure.
Yes.
Right.
Got it.
Part of the Waypoint Outdoor Collective with Captain Angie. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.
Oh, that's awesome.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.